Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, can we just stop right there? Will you stop being scared of the Holy Spirit? I mean, this is Jesus at 30. He's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need, and look, stop worrying about, well, I don't want to speak in tongues. Look, anything He gives you is good. Just whatever you want to give me, I'm going to take. I need your filling. Look, you can't do this thing without it. All right? I mean, you understand? Stop being, isn't it amazing that religion has made us scared of a gift that Jesus wanted to give us, was excited about giving us? Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Invite Him into your life. All right? That was free. You know? Not what I'm preaching about, but I couldn't pass it up. He returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I'm sorry, I got to stop again. See, some of you are whining and complaining about your being in a wilderness, and that's exactly where God wants you. Those the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Some of you are trying to get out right where God wants you. That's free too. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about. But I'm just, it's Christmas. I'm giving away free stuff, you know. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had entered, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said to him, look at this phrase, and the devil said to him, "All authority, all this authority I will give to you." Stop. You can't give what you don't have. How did the devil have that authority? Because Adam gave it to him. I just explained to you why evil's in the world. God gave it to us and it was perfect. And then we promptly delivered it over to Satan. He could give it to him. I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me. And I give it to you, whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Amen. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and said, he got desperate. The devil got desperate. Set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall not bear you up there, lest you dash your foot against a stone." I mean, the devil started quoting scripture to Jesus. That's desperate right there, buddy. And Jesus answered and said, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Look what happened. And when the devil had ended his temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask you to bless us. I pray that you will bless us with your revelation. I can't reveal what you want to reveal. Only you can do that. I pray you'll do that, God, and bless these people. I pray you'll bless our country, Lord. I pray you'll bless all of our Congress, Lord, all of them with a revelation of your wisdom and who you are. God, I pray that our president will have a revelation of you and who you are. And God, I pray that all our leaders, our state leaders, and all our city leaders will have a revelation of who you are. Father, I just pray this morning, speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I know that I ended a series last week about who, you know, about family and family dynamics. And I made a statement a couple of weeks ago or during the series about identity, and that men have the gifting, that God gave the gift to men to give things identity. Okay? Now, that is not, please hear me now. Please don't go out and say I'm a male chauvinist or anything like that, because I'm not. All I'm saying is God created men, God created women, He gave them different jobs, different anointings. Women can do stuff I can't do. All right? Men can do stuff women can't do. Together, they make a good one. Amen? And so, but all I'm saying is I'm identifying the anointing that God gave man to give identity. We have a generation that don't know who they are. We have people that are trying to find themselves. We have people that are searching for things and searching for happiness and searching for joy and trying to find themselves. And the whole time, God the Father is the one who gives true identity. He tells you who you are. Notice what Satan came to tempt him with. If you are the Son of God. He went right to his identity, right to who he was, and began to question it. Same thing he did with Eve. God's holding out on you. He's questioning identity. Now, identity basically is who you are. And I'm telling you, we don't know who we are. And I want you to understand that Jesus, He did not go one day wondering who He was. He wasn't worried about who He was. He wasn't, you know, concerned. He didn't hunt for His purpose in life. Why? Because the Father gave it to Him. And He believed Him. Now, your identity, you can't find it yourself. Are you listening? Your identity, you can't find it yourself. It must be given to you. I became a man. You know when I became a man? When my dad told me I was a man. And it triggered something in me. Now, your identity, what you believe, who you believe you are. I want everybody to hear this now. Who you believe you are will determine the rest of your life and how you live, the decisions you make, what you feel like you can, what you put up with, what you allow in your life. Who you are will determine life for you. We got a whole lot of people that are living way less than they should just simply because they don't believe they deserve any better. They don't believe this. They don't believe that. They believe that, well, I earned this. All those different things. It determines who you are. And only a father can give you your identity. And this is why there has been such an assault on fatherhood. This is why there's been such an assault on God the Father. Because only a father can give you identity. Dads, listen to me now. Grandfathers, listen to me. Only you can give. You have the anointing. That's part of your job, is to give identity to your children and your wife and all those things. You have that anointing to do that. Well, they're the old man. They can find themselves. No, you have the anointing. You're supposed to stand there and tell them who they are. And you, the one, two ways you do it. You do it with your voice. They need to hear it. They need to hear the words. You're my beloved son. You're my daughter. I'm proud of you. I love you. They need to hear the words. Don't tell me it's not your personality to do those things. You're lying to yourself. The second way you do it is demonstrate it. Look, words have to be backed up with demonstration. You've got to first declare it, But then you got to demonstrate it. How did Jesus Christ, one particular instance, the Bible says that Jesus came, and it started, you realize when he was baptized, he had not done anything. He had not done one miracle. He had not healed one person. He had not taught one lesson. He had not done anything at his baptism. And yet, a voice from heaven declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then he demonstrated by a dove came and lit on him. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated it. He not only said it, he demonstrated it. Now listen, this is a huge area. Because if you don't know who you are, you'll always question certain things. If you don't know who you are, that do you understand? You're going to come up with Satan, come up against Satan, and the first thing he's going to question is who you are. He's going to question where you come from. He's going to question what you got in you. And when you know who you are, it gives you three things, but let me just say this to you. I want you to hear this. Hear this clearly. When you know who you know who you are not. That's why people are living in sin, and they know things are wrong, and they know this and all that. They know they're trapped, all this stuff. But they keep on doing it because they don't think there's any better. I got to know that is not who I am. Before I can say this is who I am. I got to know my identity, or I'll put up with all kinds of garbage from the devil. I got to make sure you understand where we're going now before we go into these three things. I know women, teenage girls, but grown women can't stand not having a man because it gives them identity. They got to have a man on their shoulder to make them feel good about themselves. Money. Got to have this. Got to have. Now, I'd never drive that car. Why? The reason you never drive it is because you think your identity is wrapped up in something you have. And I'm telling you, only God the Father can give you true identity. When you know who you are, when you understand who you are, you won't settle for less than what Jesus Christ bought. Now, when you know who you are, it brings you three things. Three things that we can see in Jesus' life. Because he never doubted who he was. Number one, it brings you value. It brings you value. Value needs to be and should be determined by God. It's determined by God. The value of something. See, this is where evolution breaks down. See, what evolution is trying to do and science is trying to do is the same thing that Satan was trying to do. He is trying to devalue people. See, if we're the same as animals, and we all crawled out of the sludge together, and we're just evolving, do you realize Chuck, you'll appreciate this. They did this guy, a scientist, he was a Christian scientist, and he broke down the human body, the average human body. This was 15 years ago, it's probably a little more now. He said the human body is worth about $1.89 worth of chemicals. If you went and bought them, you were worth about $1.89. Well, now it's probably $2.50, $3. You know, inflation. You see, the evolution wants to value us just like they do animals. You see where they're taking it. You can get more jail time for killing an animal than you kill a person. Do you understand? This is where evolution breaks down, that when you start placing value on things, something in us rises up when you start equaling us with the trees. and the forest and all the... I love all those things. We could should take care of all of them, but that, I'm worth a lot more than they are. I'm worth more than any stupid dog. If, you know, even your little pet chihuahua you think is part of the family. He ain't. There ain't no dogs in heaven. They don't got a soul. You understand that? He's going to die and rot right there in the ground. And I know it, that is offensive to some of you. But here's what I want. I don't mind you loving it. But what I want you to do is you treat that dog better than you do people. And that's offensive to God. You never be mean to that dog, but you'll be mean to people. And that is offensive to the Creator who put great value on people. Your value is not determined by your... Boy, I can feel the hatred of dog lovers all over the planet now. People are... Yeah, that guy for Vicky, he thinks dogs ain't gonna be in heaven. Let's go kill him. Yeah. I don't mind you loving dogs. I understand that. There's nothing wrong. You should treat them right. But they're not as valuable as people. You better wake up and realize that. That's God's opinion, not mine. When you value... See, your value is not determined, it's determined by God. It's not determined by, don't let your value be determined by outside things. Your money, what you drive, what you... You know, some of the most insecure people I know are beautiful women because they think everybody likes them for their beauty. And so they'll never go... I know women, they'll never go out without makeup on. Oh, you don't want to see this without, you know... And I'm saying, man, that ain't the reason I like you. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let... Look at this next one. Victories or failures doesn't determine my value. See, some of you think you, because you're good at something, that makes you valuable. No, those are gifts. And the same truth, some of you believe you're failures. You can't get out of it because you think I'll never be able to because of my past. God's not impressed by either one of them. He didn't place value on you because you could do something or you look something. I mean, somebody, that's why we tell me and Todd and all, we tell our young ministers, we say, look, if you find your self-worth in what I do and what you do, you're wrong. It ain't in what you do. It's in the value is what God has placed on me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not my victories or my failures determine my value. It is God Almighty who determines the value of something, of people. We've got to learn that's, when you learn that's who you are, that people don't determine your value. Jesus sat there. He sat there when they said, hey, look, you got to come. Lazarus is sick. Your friend is sick. You better come. See, if you let people determine your value, you'll always have a man-pleasing spirit. You'll always be wanting people can manipulate you. If you don't understand your value, just write these down. If you're taking, I want you to think about it. First of all, you will be a man-pleaser instead of God-pleaser. If you don't understand your value of what God placed on you, you'll be a man-pleaser. If you don't understand your value, you'll always be insecure. Because it'll always be on what you've done lately, your last victory. You'll always be insecure. Are they laughing at me? You looking for people? See, some of you are on Facebook because you want people to validate you, and then you invite all these other people to comment, and you let people that have no interest in you at all, no vested value in you, let their words hurt you because you invited them in. You need their acclamation. When God says no, no, it doesn't come from people. It only comes from me. Amen. You'll be a man pleaser. You'll be insecure. If you don't understand your value, you'll be easily manipulated. How many people keep doing for you? They might not like, how many girls have lost their virginity to a man that said, I can find somebody else to sleep with me if you don't. Well, buddy, if you're insecure and you're a man pleaser, it's only a matter of time before you crater to that. You crater to people that put pressure on. Well, you're going to lose your job if you don't stop praying over your meal. Well, you see how my value is not based on my money, what people think. It doesn't come from them. It only comes from the Father. Everybody look at me. Look at me now. Do you realize, and I know some of you have lived a hard life. Do you realize that God says you are worth as much as Jesus Christ because that's what I'm willing to pay for you? And for you to devalue that, because you cannot walk when Satan's pounding you if you don't know who you are. You'll feel sorry for yourself and you'll be drained. How many of you know people, good people, they always get drained? They get drained because they don't know who they are. They keep fighting battles. There's some people that just ain't going to like you. That was not an amen part there. We got to be like Texas A&M. We got to have amen practice, I mean, there are some people that you can't do enough to a user. Do you understand? I got to stand before the Lord and accept His value and not let people manipulate me into doing things. We have pastors that stand in the pulpit that will not preach that living together is wrong because I've had them look me in the eye and say, I can't preach that. I'm sorry. I know it's wrong. I can't. They'll get mad at me. This one will get mad at me. They'll make it hard on me. All that stuff. See, you can't defeat Satan if you're still worried about who you are. That's why the Father is constantly trying to show us His value. Number two that you get when you know who you are, you get freedom. I'm free from sin. Oh my God, Brother Allen thinks he's perfect. No. See, we don't like this. See, we like that religious thing. Well, we're supposed to strive to be perfect, but you can't ever get there. See, we don't like what I'm about to say. I'm telling you, when I understand who I am, I'm a blood-bought child of the Most High God. And God loves me, and He says He has set me free from the bondage of sin. So when I sin, I ain't got a whole lot of excuses. Well, I know what I did was wrong, Brother Allen, but, she drove, like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Notice nobody laughed over here. They're asking each other, who the heck's Flip Wilson? Well, I know it's wrong, but I wouldn't, if she, If she wouldn't have acted like that, I would, you know. It's just my personality. I've got an addictive personality. No, when you understand your value, you understand that that sin is left less than. You're more listen to me. You're more valuable than that. You're better than that. Don't settle with living with sin. I know we have struggles. I know everybody in here has personal struggles and all that. Because I am being set free, I'm not going to settle with it until it is defeated in my life. That's what that means. I'm free from the sin done to me. I'm free from the sin that was beyond my control. There are so many people that are tainted and they live life a certain way because of something that was done to them. And I want you to know, Bible says, when you know who you are, I'm set free from everything Satan has tried to do to me. I'm set free from it. I'm not a victim. I'm free from fear. What? Now, you know I can show you all these verses now. I mean, I ain't making this up. I am free from fear. Fear of what? Whatever. Whatever. I don't have to. See, that right there lets you know we've settled because some of you are afraid and you think it's normal life. James, you got. I'm sick of. My wife told me, you know, other people have teenage sons. You can pick on them. So, James, you got a teenage son. Let me ask you this question. I want you to answer this question from a father. Okay, you're a father. From a father perspective. Say you buy your teenage son, I don't know, you might have already, have you bought him a vehicle? Say you buy your son, hey, son going, nah, man, yay. Get on him. Say you buy your son a nice used truck. You want a truck? Is that what you want? Okay, we'll go and play this out. Say you buy him a nice used truck, maybe a 14, 15, something like that. You know, got about 50,000 miles, but it's nice. Been well kept. And you put your money down and you buy it for him. Say, son, here's the keys. And next weekend, that son of a gun takes it to, you know, I've always wanted to drive in the demolition derby. And he takes that son of a gun to the demolition derby and tries to win. We're on TV, this is church now, but so what is your response going to be to your son? I mean, are you going to have, is he going to feel the love and the pleasure in your? You going to love him? It's going to turn into that hard love thing, you know, go. That's all I need to say to him. Do you understand? Listen to me. You're taking yourself and putting yourself in sin and living the way the world does and what the world says is okay. It's the same thing. The Father has bought you and paid for you with the best He has, His beloved Son, who paid for you and has set you free from sin. Don't take it to a demolition derby. Don't submit yourself to sin. Why? You're better than that. It's not who you are. I don't want to submit myself to that, not because I'm so holy. I don't want to drink. I don't want to do drugs because I don't want to submit myself to that. Why? I'm better than that. I'm not talking about, is it wrong to have a tea? I mean, please get over that. I don't need alcohol to help me unwind at night. I sleep perfectly fine without it. Do you understand that we've been set free from sin? And if my life, everybody look at me, if my life is not lining up with that freedom, then you don't rest until it does. That's the redemption process. That's called, the biblical word is called sanctification. Because that's who I am, that's who I was born, that's my value. And if my life is not lining up with that, then I begin to take classes, I go to counseling, I pray, I do whatever, until it does line up with the freedom. And then I get free in that area, and guess what? He lets me rejoice in freedom a little while, and then he says, okay, let's talk about this area. That's called sanctification. See, some of you don't think you can be free because you don't know who you are. If you don't have freedom, everybody look at me because I'm describing a lot of people in this church. You're always a victim. You're always going to be a victim. You know, people mistreat me. I'm offended. You know, my daddy didn't love me. My mama didn't love me. And I'm not making light of those things, but I'm saying, man, the blood of Jesus has settled that, hasn't it? It's what he thinks. I mean, he said it's finished. He actually thinks he finished it. Stupid Jesus. If you don't have that kind of freedom, if you don't understand who you are, identity, you won't have freedom. You'll always settle with sin. You'll make excuses for it. You'll settle with sin. And I'm not the convictor of sin. The Holy Spirit is. You'll settle with it. You'll settle with worry and fear. You'll feel sorry for yourself. You'll stress and anxiety. Let me just tell you, I'm going to just throw this out there and I'm going to move on. Stress and anxiety are killing Americans. And the Bible says we don't have to have none of it. Now, see what we've done? We've forgotten who we are, and so we just settle with a little bit of it. And some of you have settled with a lot of it. That's not who I am. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. You understand that I am free from fear. I don't have to be afraid of the future. I mean, we got Christians that are in this room that are worried about the future. Worried about the guy in North Korea. Man, if we have a nuclear war, I'm going to get me some donuts and some sweet tea, and I'm going to go find the first target, and I'm going to sit there and say, usher me into heaven. I am ready. Or if I got to live afterwards, can I not believe? Am I not a child of God? Is he not going to take care of me? Well, where can fear live now? It can't. When we settle, when we start forgetting who we are, that's where fear begins to build. The last one, you understand purpose. When you know who you are, you know you have a purpose. When you know your identity, you know you have a purpose. You don't have to hunt around. Listen, the Bible says in Psalms 139 that he was there knitting you together in your mother's womb. I don't care if your mom and daddy, if they sinned and you were born out of wedlock and all that. God is the giver of life. He said he was there knitting stuff in. And then in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans. While he was knitting you together, he had a thought towards you. He had a purpose and a plan for you. He had something special in mind. God has a plan for you. And he's not playing guess, you know, like we do with our kids, and put one plan and then devastation in the other hand and go, okay, guess which one. He's a good father. He'll let you. He will get you in the right place. He not only has a plan, I'm gifted to walk through whatever he gets me to get. I'm gifted. And gifted is not just being able to tie balloons. Gifted is the grace of God to walk through whatever he's called you to walk through. See, if I know who I am, when troubles come on me, I just go, God, I know you're paying attention to me. And so you know I'm walking through this. So God, just show me how you want me to handle this problem, because I know I'm going to come out of it all right or even better than I was. So we call the boys call Amy the baby whisperer. It's amazing. Even little children, she's not so good with teenagers. That's where I have to step in. You know, but my wife, I love to watch her mess with her teenage. I mean, when they do something wrong, you know, I come out like a lion and she starts weeping. And she'll look at it like when Jacob got in trouble with that, and she looked at him and she's weeping. And she looks at him, and I'm about to just explode on him. And she goes, what? And she's weeping. What in your heart tells you that's okay? Where have I failed you to let something hang in your heart? And Jacob just like, oh my God. I mean, he's just dying. He's looking at me, Dad. Come on, whip me, man. Do something. Don't you can't let that go on. Now, some of you would have an uncomfortable time if God chose you to have 11 kids. Well, guess what? He didn't. He not only in her DNA was there and told her before on our second child, you're going to have a lot of children. We had no idea 11. You're going to have a lot of children. In her DNA, he had that plan already. He was putting stuff in her. And guess what? She has the grace. She is gifted to walk through it. That's why I don't have to be afraid of whatever God lets me walk through. You see that? Please tell me you see that. God has gifted me. He has a plan. I have a purpose. I'm not just walking through life aimlessly trying to find out. I'm not just going to take a job. I'm part of something great, greater than myself. I'm part of the family business. When you don't have a purpose, means you don't understand your identity and you don't know your purpose. Here's what happens. You're always trying to find your own path. And when you know you come up with it, you always question you, don't you? I mean, let's be honest. Because you know you don't have all the facts. Right? I know I don't have all the facts. And when I try to come up with my own facts, listen, please hear me. God, please hear this. Waited all sermon to say this. When you don't know it's the purposes of God for your life, you won't fight through adversity. I know God sent me to Amy. That makes me fight through any of the problems. She's the one. I know God sent me to that job. Well, if God sent you, when adversity comes, rise up and say, ah, Satan, you ain't getting me out of my position. God sent me here. Until God takes you out of that position. Does that make sense? What I'm seeing is we have no fight. We're like water. We just go to the path of least resistance. And Satan's getting us out of it. He gets us to quit. He too soon. He gets us to quit on things of God. He gets us because we're not sure who we are, because we don't have not sure of our purpose, and we're not sure of our identity. Let me give you a funny example. I believe what I'm preaching. I am absolutely a child of the Most High God. He loves me. Ain't no devil going to steal one day from my life. Now, if I was living in sin and playing with the devil and doing whatever, Yeah, I might give him the right to steal my life. But I ain't doing that. I'm trying to live following the Lord. I was on a plane with some turbulence. There was this elderly lady sitting next to me. And her daughter made her fly to come see her. You got to come, send you a ticket. And she hates to fly. And she's sitting there, and it's a little bit of turbulence. It ain't bad. I've had worse, you know. But, yeah, oh, my God. You know, and so I feel bad for the lady. So I just try to lighten up the moment, you know, in my lighten up way, you know. And so I told her, I said, ma'am, just hold on to my arm right there. I said, look, I got a purpose and a destiny. God's told me I'm going to do certain things. I hadn't done them yet. So I know it don't matter what happens to this plane, I'm going to make it through. So if you want to make it through, just hold on right there. Because ain't no devil going to take me out before my time, before my purpose. See, do you understand? How does fear live there? It can't if I don't feed it. Listen to me. Don't waste one day of being bitter and angry and unforgiving. That is not God's will for your life. Wake up and realize God has deemed you. If you're saved, you're His beloved child in whom He's well pleased. And whatever you walk through, He's going to give you the grace to walk through it, and He's going to walk through it with you, and you're going to come out the other side being better than you were when you went in it, because that's who I am. I don't have to quit. I can fight through problems. I'm not going to let Satan dictate to me. I'm not going to let other people dictate to me what's most valuable. My value and my worth is not on what I own or what I have or how good I look or how snappy I dress. I am a snappy dresser, ain't I? My wife got mad at my wife gets mad at me for saying, I said, you know, and I thought I had a comeback. You know, Richard, I thought of a comeback, and I said, I'm going to get her with this one. I'm going to get her. You know, she wants to put a 10-year rule on my shirts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a shirt, after it's 10 years old, that's when it really starts becoming part of you. It's like, yeah. See, them new shirts need to be washed about 500 times before you. Yes. Well, see, she wants to throw them away. I mean, Brother Larry, it's like family members. It's like my dog. She wants to throw them away. And so I've been thinking, she always, you drawers, I don't want to buy these new shirts. I'm sick of all these, blah, blah, blah. They're fading. I said, well, baby, I'm fading. I'm getting kind of, my back hurts. Are you going to give me out too? Well, here was my comeback. I said, aren't you glad I'm a loyal person? I'm so loyal that even when they don't look right, they fade and all that. Yeah, I mean, doesn't that make you feel good that you're married to me, that I'm that kind of person? That was my comeback, you know. And she said, you're not married to a shirt. Yes, baby, yeah, yeah. There's so many Christians that ain't got no fight in them because they don't know who they are. And they just fall away at the first sign of resistance. We have an enemy. Some of you are settling for being a victim, for being offended all the time, for being addicted. According to the statistics, there's a bunch of you in here that are addicted to prescription drugs. And I'm telling you, that's settling. I'm not against pills. I'm not against you take them when you need them, but some of you need them to survive. And God says, not my kids. Not my children. Because I've given them the Holy Spirit. He's my comforter. I want you to hear this song. Okay. Now look, the Baptists and the Methodists have already beat us to the eating place. We got to let them get out before we can go in. Okay? So, I want you to just close your eyes. And I want you to let this song sing over you. Okay?
I'm covered by the force of love.
felt like the Lord spoke to me this morning, and I want to share this because I feel like it's going to hit some of you. I want you to hear it in your spirit. I was just praying through the sermon and thinking about it, and man, the Lord spoke to me this morning, and it was just so out of the blue. I said, Lord, what do you want to say? What would you like to say? And instantly in my mind, he said, Alan, I have never had buyer's remorse. Man, have you ever bought something and you brought it home? And then you realize how much it's going to cost you, or you realize, man, I really didn't need it. All this buyer's remorse. The Bible says, I have been bought with a price. He bought me with the blood of Jesus Christ. And he told me, I have never had buyer's remorse. Wow. Wow. You got to believe. You know what breaks my heart, and I think it breaks God's heart too. And I'm talking to Christians now, that we believe Satan more than we believe our Father. Everything I preached is straight out of the Scripture. Everything I said is straight out of the Scripture. But yet we'd rather believe the lies of the enemy more than we would believe our Father. That's got to be hurtful. I want to tell you, you are a Christian. Your identity is, I am a blood-bought child of the Most High God. He is my Father. Not only my Father, He's my Dad. And everything, He has equipped me and given me everything I need to make it through everything I face. And He has a purpose and a destiny for me. I'm a joint heir with my big brother, Jesus Christ. And His blood flows through my veins. And He'll get me in the right spot. Even when I don't know what I need, He'll get me where I need to be. Because that's what good dads do. And because of that, I can trust Him. And I don't have to fear what's coming. Because anything that's coming is bigger than my dad. Is not bigger than my dad, excuse me. Anything that's coming is not bigger than His purpose and plan for me. See, when you start living like that, first of all, your stress level goes down. Second of all, your faith level goes up. And you stop even praying for yourself much because you know dad's got you. And you start praying and seeing. Then you start becoming who we are meant to be. Everybody look at me. You know who we are? Our identity. And He hadn't backed off of it. At least I hadn't seen a unless clause. We are the light of the world. If there ain't no light in the darkness, it's our fault. It ain't the homosexual agenda. It ain't the liberals. It ain't all that. It ain't none of their fault. If there's no light, it's our fault because we are the light. And all I want us to be is who we are. I want you to receive that, accept that, understand. I know my dad hears my prayers. You know how I know? I can go in that group of kids. There'll be 100 of them screaming out. But when my son screams out, I know that voice. He is my dad. Man, believe that. Confess it first, and then He'll demonstrate it.